The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, America. In for Todd Starnes. Yeah, the oh-so-deplorable one is on assignment today. I'm Tim Van Horn, your guest host, taking you through the next 3 hours on the Todd Starnes radio program. Thank you for joining us. It's Casual Friday and couldn't be happier to be here with you broadcasting from the conservative blowtorch at KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. I am the morning show host for the Todd Starnes radio station there, and it is great to be with you on this Friday. We've got some great weather here in the Mid-South. Hopefully things are going well for you as you head into the weekend. And we've got a lot to get to. It is pedal to the metal today. We'll have a little bit of fun, but we got a lot to talk about over the next 3 hours. And as I was sitting here preparing for the show, and I was looking and chatting with my friend Grace Baker, who is here as well. And before we get too deep into the show, I do want to give you the phone number, because if something is on your mind and you want to join our conversation, we invite you in today at 844-747-8868. And of course, our live show blog is up and running already at toddstarnes.com. That's toddstarnes.com. But feel free to join us anytime during these next 3 hours. I'm sitting here, and of course, the top story over the last 24 hours is that the Israel-Hamas ceasefire is now in effect. So things supposedly quieter over in the Middle East for now. And I have several questions about this. And of course, one of the questions is just the instant skepticism is, how long will this last? Will it be a lasting ceasefire? But another question that I have here is, did word ever get over to the United States for all the pro-Palestinian supporters that are out there? Folks, have you seen what's gone on in the last 24 hours, even with this ceasefire that's now in effect? They may have stopped firing rockets, stopped firing missiles over in Israel and over where Hamas is basing themselves, near hospitals and residential areas and businesses. But I don't think the folks over in New York City and elsewhere have gotten the word to stand down, folks. And New York City seems to be ground zero for a lot of violence just in the last 24 hours. It's incredible to see how much hatred there is for Israel. And even as the two main parties stand down, if not just temporarily, hopefully for a longer period of time, there's been disturbing videos coming out of New York City. And we're talking about not just the harassment that we have seen in recent weeks, where caravans of pro-Palestinians will drive up and mock and harass Jews in New York City. Oh, no. It's gotten more than just a verbal. Now things have taken to a physical tone. Just last night, we're talking about people getting physically assaulted out on the street, and typically in numbers. You'll find these thugs that will take to the street and find smaller number of Jews, or just assume that the groups of pro-Israel supporters are unarmed and take it straight to them, throwing haymakers, throwing bottles. You'll see in videos of the police are there. Well, they don't care about that. They don't care if police are there. They're going to go after and try to pay a price, exact a price on the pro-Israel supporters. We've seen the physical attacks. We've seen people dining out in restaurants, minding their business, getting harassed. And then you start to see an altercation where projectiles are thrown at the couple. They're getting spit on. while others stand by and film and watch and have their jollies. And then the coup de grace, probably of all things yesterday, was the video that we saw of the firebomb that was thrown at Jewish supporters in New York City yesterday. So while there's talk of a ceasefire over in Israel, all hell has broken loose in New York City. And where do you place the blame on that? I place a lot of the blame on Hamas, but I also place a lot of the blame on our very own government here in the United States. Joe Biden sends mixed messages on everything. He basically says what he's told to say. And he is doing a bit of a victory lap, claiming credit for the ceasefire. I'm not so sure how much weight he has to that. But Israel's kind of gone along. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. But if you're Israel, you do need the United States to help financially support you in your defense. And I can tell you here at the Todd Starnes Show, we stand with Israel. And we're grateful that there's technology like the Iron Dome to protect people over there. And they have every right to not only defend themselves, but to try to weed out the thugs that started the mess in the first place. But you have the squad running around with their anti-Semitism, and they're not even hiding it. It's not even close. It's not even close to trying to cloak what their message is. They're out there in broad daylight, anti-Israel. It's not that they're just pro-Palestinian, but they are anti-Israel. And I think they're emboldening people to go out and instigate this violence and to perpetuate it. And I think they also not only enable it, I think they also excuse it. And in their own way, they encourage it. And folks, I never thought that we would come to a time in America where we would have a large faction, and they're not the majority, but they're still a large faction of people, that are able to get away with this. If you're in these districts with these representatives, now's the time to start getting together and caucusing with families, friends, and neighbors, and finding a way to vote these people out. Rashida Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and more that have nothing but hatred in their heart for Israel. It's absolutely incredible how Congress is able to get away with a lot of this stuff. And what's just as bad is that you've got a lot of squishy Democrats and even a few squishy Republicans that won't call them out on this. The brave are few. And for those that do, make sure you make it a point to thank your congressman, to make sure you support them that stand with Israel. Because right now, the rhetoric, the tide of the rhetoric, is anti-Israel. And to stand against that, I mean, think about this, folks. One of our own, Caleb Park, in the last week simply tweeted out that he stood with Israel and he got a death threat. If you just simply say that you stand with Israel, if you're just pro-Israel and nothing else, right there on the surface, that's enough to get you hate tweets. That's enough to get you death threats. And shame on you, by the way, Twitter, the last time, and Instagram and Facebook, all of you that let people skate with these things. Because the last time that I checked with Caleb Park, nothing had really been done whatsoever to track down and ban that awful human being that threatened his life. But you know what Caleb Park did? Caleb Park didn't sit there and whine, and he didn't sit there and moan. You know what he did? He went to a Stand with Israel event in Memphis last night. And that's the guts that it takes. Because right now, it feels like this ceasefire is not only going to be temporary, but it's going to continue to help spread hatred over in the United States. Coming up, though, I have some very encouraging audio, though. And sometimes out of the mouths of babes come incredible things. Later in this broadcast, I have a young 10-year-old Israeli girl who puts a late-night talk show host in his place. Facts don't care about the age of the person. If a young person has the facts and they have the logic, they can still win the day. And this 10-year-old girl is something else. Coming up later on the Todd Starnes Show, we've got Frank Corder from Mississippi's Y'all Politics. There's some great things going on in the state of Mississippi, and their governor, Tate Reeves, is leading the way in many things. We'll talk to Frank. He's the managing editor there. We'll also talk to Representative Debbie Lesko out of Arizona, as Arizona is a battleground right now for a lot of hateful rhetoric, because Arizona has the audacity to, verify election results? Heaven forbid. We've also got Denise Harley. We've also got Scott Lamb. We're going to talk to Liberty University as well. Very busy show. Also, the phone lines are open. 844-747-8868. Joe, we see you and we'll hear you coming up. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Tim Van Horn in for Todd. 844-747-8868. Do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? Among our many topics today, and of course, being Friday, it's Open Line Friday as well. 844-747-8868. Check out ToddStarnes.com. That's ToddStarnes.com. Our live show blog is up. You can always get the hot tip on who's coming up later on in the broadcast, and some terrific stories there, only found at ToddStarnes.com. Now, Grace, I understand today is Casual Friday. It's also Open Line Friday, but I was also under the impression that it was Show and Tell Friday. So what? Where is your new puppy?
Oh my gosh, she's at home. I didn't get the memo. I didn't know it was Bring Your Dog to Work Day.
I was so excited when I was asked, can you fill in for Todd today? And I said, absolutely. I thought, okay, not only do I get to guest host for Todd, but I also get to see, it's Merlot, your puppy.
Yes.
And I thought today was Show and Tell Friday, but it's not.
No, but next time I'll bring her, okay? Just you got to give me a heads up and tell me to bring her. See, I brought her earlier this week to get headshots with me. So I didn't know I could bring her more than once a week.
On our local station app, we need to have pictures of Merlot, because
I think she'll have a whole page dedicated to her.
Last I've seen, you know, this dog is growing like a weed.
Oh, she is. She's all legs right now.
Oh, wow.
She's so tall.
Well, I'm excited for you. Please let me know. Even the next time the station has Show and Tell Friday, let me know. I will show up for the Todd Starnes Show and hang out with Todd out in the hallway if you'll bring the puppy.
I will definitely do that. Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I love puppies. I love kids, too, because kids will oftentimes do brilliant things. Never underestimate the smarts of a child, especially one with a good upbringing. And I've got Exhibit A right here. Of course, last segment, we were talking about the Israeli Hamas ceasefire. And much of the narrative has been, well, Israel needs to stop. Israel needs to stop. We've seen mixed messages out of the White House. The mainstream media continues to put the onus on Israel to stop. And if you haven't lived over in Israel, it's probably pretty hard to imagine walking in their shoes. So we went and we found this terrific audio. And this is a 10-year-old girl named Renana who lives in Israel. And apparently she watches a lot, you know, she watches some of the late night shows over in Israel and catches some of the stuff that airs in the U.S. And she's responding to John Oliver, who's the host of Last Week Tonight. And John was trying to equivocate the Israel and Hamas rocket launches. Listen to this mix of 10-year-old Renana responding to John Oliver trying to be so smarty smart.
Hello, Mr. John Oliver. My name is Renana Botzer Suisa. I live in Kfar Aza, and I'm 10 years old. I heard what you say in your show, and I want to respond to you.
It is true that militants from Palestinian groups like Hamas fired over 1,000 rockets towards Israel this week, and that is reprehensible. But, and I realize this is the most load-bearing conjunction in history, but the majority of those rockets thankfully didn't reach their target.
Every siren makes me cry and feel sad. Just so you know, my army is strong. However, this does not protect me from being afraid. Since I was born, I live in fear. Since I was 6, I have been going to therapy.
There is a massive imbalance when it comes to the two sides' weaponry and capabilities.
Israel was founded to protect the Jewish nation, and we will be not sorry for being a strong country.
While most of the rockets aimed toward Israeli citizens this week were intercepted, Israel's airstrikes were not. They hit their targets, including a house in a refugee camp, a building housing the Associated Press and Al Jazeera, and this 13-story office and apartment building.
Our country doesn't attack whatever it wants to. However, Hamas attacking for the last 20 years whatever they want to.
Pretty good reminder that while some things are incredibly complex and require a great deal of context, others are just wrong.
I just want it to end. I just want peace, a normal childhood for me and for all the children in Gaza.
Wow. Just wow. This kid was incredible. And really, that's the only takeaway you need from this child. So bright, so attuned to what's going on. They don't get the privilege of sugarcoating things in Israel when the sirens are going off so frequently and it is literally life or death. However, John Oliver, in all of his cleverness, was equivocating the Israel rockets and Hamas and throwing a little bit of equity in there. And of course, you know, he was making the point that, yes, they were shooting a lot of rockets from Hamas, but many of them missed. So I guess that's really just not as bad, right? It's okay to intend to kill and to harm as long as they don't hit their target. It's just a little less worse, right? That was the point that he was making, and I thought that was pretty awful. And then he felt bad. Did you hear his sympathy, Grace, for Hamas when he was... I could almost hear the violin in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Because Hamas doesn't have as much weaponry as Israel and that there needs to be more equity in war.
Oh, jeez. If we start having equity in war, I don't even know what to say about that. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Well, and then he also, on top of that, he wants more rockets. He wants more rockets for Hamas or he wants fewer for Israel.
Like even the playing field.
In war? It's war.
It's war. I know. There's a winner and a loser.
Yeah, you're not looking to go for the tie.
No, exactly.
This isn't a soccer game.
No, this is not
life.
a soccer game.
This is war.
You don't get a participation trophy.
No.
Nothing like that.
No, you do not get a participation. That's a great point. You don't get a participation trophy. But he's complaining that Israel has more weaponry. Well, you know, when every country around you wants to wipe you off the map, it's probably a pretty good idea.
It's good to be prepared, you know.
To be prepared. And then he's complaining that Israel is hitting their targets. He's actually complaining that Israel is hitting their targets. If you watch the videos from the IDF, they intentionally will warn people that are in occupied buildings to get out before they make them go kablooey.
Yes.
They are so surgical, and they have to be, because in this political landscape, any misstep by Israel, any mistake, and everybody piles on Israel, because you have so many that are in a narrative that hate them already, that they go out of their way to be humane, to be surgical, and be precise. Yet another reason why we stand with Israel.
Well, they gave the Associated Press journalists a warning.
Yes.
You know, they act like they didn't give them a warning. They allowed them to get out.
Yeah,
they gave them time.
It is incredible to see how precise and skilled that they are. I think this ceasefire benefits Hamas more. It gives them a better chance to reload. Do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? 844-747-8868. It's Open Line Friday. Joe and Ella J on WDUN. Coming up next, to bottom of the hour news, weather, and traffic. Sit tight. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Tim Van Horn, guest host today for Todd. He is on assignment He's out doing something probably at least 85% deplorable, because that's how Todd rolls. Happy Friday, everybody. 844-747-8868. It's Open Line Friday. You can talk about whatever today. And if you need a thought starter, let me turn the crank on the thought starting machine. Do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? 844-747-8868. Make sure you check out ToddStarnes.com. You can get the Toddcast podcast there. Our live show blog is up and gives you a preview of the upcoming guests, including Frank Corder from Mississippi's Y'all Politics. How do you not just love Y'all Politics? You just got to go there and check that out. We're going to talk about some of the great things going on in Mississippi. And also Congresswoman Debbie Lesko from Arizona will join us in the second hour. We'll have Denise Harley, Scott Lamb in hour number three on this Open Line Friday. Also want to send a shout out to our Facebook Live. We are streaming there, and folks have been responding in droves to our question about Israel and Hamas and this ceasefire. Will it last? Well, Sandy says it will last unless Hamas attacks. Daryl makes a great point. Does it ever? Yeah, that's a good point. I'm a little skeptical on this. Sandra says this is Joe and Kamala Harris's fault, and this is just the beginning, folks. Go to Todd Starnes and like him on Facebook and join our conversation about Israel and Hamas. And every now and then we jump in and say hello into that conversation as well. 844-747-8868. It's Dino listening in on Nuga Radio. Dino, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
I don't think it's going to last. I hope it does. But now the Israelis, they don't strap suicide bombers on people, bombs. They don't put small bombs in clubs and then have the police and the fire and rescue people come and then blow up a 10 times bigger one. They don't shoot down or, you know, bomb airplanes like other people do. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And they also don't launch their missiles hiding behind schools and other civilian areas as well. They don't break the conventions of war.
Right. Good point. Okay, I always said with Todd, remember, it's Mom and Dad, not Tom and Brad. Great show, brother.
Hey, appreciate you, Dino. Hey, all the best. Hey, if you see Loudmouth Mike there from Nuga Radio knocking around, tell him we said hello at the Todd Starnes Show for sure. Let's go back to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Nora in Memphis on our flagship station on KWAM. Good morning, Nora. How are you?
I'm thankful, and the question that was asked is, he's talking about the war ending or not ending. Well, according to scriptures, and God's word is always true, because he said, let a man be a lie, not his word. So therefore, he's going to continue in war, plus there's going to be great earthquake in 21.
You think so? Well, Nora, I tell you, it's always good to fall back on.
The word says so. I don't. You know, I just go with what the Bible says.
It's always good to fall back on the word for sure. All 66 chapters of the Old and the New Testament. Nora from our flagship station in Memphis, thanks for checking in on Open Line Friday. 844-747-8868. It's Open Line Friday, but if you need something to get you going, I'll ask you, do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire that was instituted yesterday will last? Robert on KARN in Arkansas. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I wanted to answer your question, and it's being a little cynical, but that's what we've been made because of politics in Washington, D.C. I believe it'll last until Joe Biden sends them another 200-and-something million to buy more weapons from Iran, and I'm talking about Hamas.
Yeah,
Israel would love to have peace, but our country, and especially our politicians, especially with the ones with the D by their name, they hate Israel for some reason, and I don't see this lasting on a permanent deal. In the end, they will do everything they can to betray Israel, which is a great ally in that part of the world for us. And as we know from Scripture, of course, God's chosen nation. So
yes.
That's cynical, but that's my answer.
That's right. And Israel means wrestles with God, God's chosen people. And Robert, I'll tell you exactly why Democrats hate Israel, because Israel is the closest thing in the Middle East to the United States. You have a very tolerant society where you have Muslims, you have Jews that are able to coexist there in relative harmony. You have a strong military there, and you also have people that love freedom. You don't have an oppressive government there like you do in the countries that surround them. And you know what? Democrats love government, and you know what they love even more than government? Big government. And Israel is none of that, and that's one of the many reasons why they hate Israel. Thanks for the call this morning on the Todd Starnes Show. 844-747-8868. There's Joe on WDUN. Joe, how you doing? Welcome to Open Line Friday.
Tim, great to be on with you. Tim, I'm for Israel, and I hope the truce lasts. But let me tell you, we got a bunch of fired-up activists out here in LAJ. We went with Trump 80%. We're working hard to stop these tax increases. Steve Moore is a very good friend of mine, and Steve told me today, just got off Fox News, said, Joe, we can stop it because the American people do not want tax increases. And I've got a leadership class at Poole's Famous Barbecue here in LAJ. I've got the finest young leaders in America. They're all conservative. They're all for strong Trump and strong conservatives. And we want to stop the Biden tax and the spending increases. The American people want tax cuts and spending cuts. They do not want tax and spending increases, Tim. And I want to invite you down to LAJ to Pooh's Barbecue, and you'll see some great conservatives down there, my friend.
Joe, people don't need the government to tell them how to spend their money. They don't need it confiscated, and they don't need it redistributed. They know best how to handle their own money. Joe, before you go, I have to ask you about the barbecue place down there. What type of meat do you guys serve up down there at the barbecue place where y'all meet?
They have great pork and beef. It's just incredible. I've been eating there for 25 years. It's known all over the country. It's Pooh's Famous Barbecue, and we would love for you to come, Tim. The food's great, and you would meet a lot of great freedom-loving conservatives in LAJ, Georgia.
Listen, I'm all about that. I was recently down just south of Atlanta just a couple of months ago. I was down at the Great Wolf Lodge at that indoor water park. I'm going to have to probably do a few more push-ups and sit-ups before I show myself down there in a tank top again, because I almost got arrested for indecent exposure. I need to probably maybe do a little bit more and pull, I'm of that age where I probably need to pull my pants up a little bit more, that middle-age disease you got. You know what I'm talking about. But Joe, God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling us on the Todd Starnes Show on Open Line Friday. I love Joe. And hello to everybody down in LAJ. Thanks for listening on WDUN. It's Open Line Friday, but I'd love to also hear your thoughts. Do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? It was instituted yesterday. Do you think it's one that will stick around? Andy dials in from Little Rock on KARN. Andy, thanks for calling the Todd Starnes Show.
Hey, thank you. We are starting to see where Jewish people are being violently attacked in this country, and the media is covering it up. This cannot stand. And if our law enforcement is not going to do something about it, we have to be ready to stand up. And it's already happened in Miami. A gentleman saw a group of Palestinians attacking a Jewish family coming out of worship. And the guy pulled over and stopped and pulled his concealed carry weapon and said, you're not going to do it. And that is what is happening. We need to be aware of it. If we turn on Israel, it is over for this country. Read Genesis 12:3. I'm not worried about the economy. I'm not worried about COVID. If we turn our back on Israel, in the blink of an eye, we'll see this country go down.
I hope, I pray, Andy, that Bibi Netanyahu and the Israelis know that the bulk of Americans stand with them. And you're right. There are instances, and you mentioned in Florida, but I can count really three right off the bat in the last 36 hours in New York City where caravans are pulling up, jumping out, harassing, hurling bottles, throwing punches, throwing haymakers at Jews, harassing Jews at restaurants, spitting on them, throwing projectiles. And of course, we also have the story of the firebomb that was thrown into a crowd in New York City yesterday as well. And it is proliferating, and you have to go to social media, and you need to go to places like toddstarnes.com to find out more on the truth of what is really going on, because the media loves to grab the end of that rug and go sweep, sweep, sweep right underneath. Nothing here to see, folks. If anything, the Israelis, according to the mainstream media, have a fair share of it coming, because they're just as much of the problem in their eyes. But you know better. We know better as well. And that's why we stand with Israel here. Coming up, your calls, 844-747-8868. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. He is on assignment today. He will be back on Monday. Thanks for joining us for hour number one. 844-747-8868. It's open line Friday. But I do have a question I'd love for you to tackle if you're up for the challenge today. Of course, the ceasefire with Israel and Hamas went into effect yesterday. Do you think the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? 844-747-8868. And don't forget to go to toddstarnes.com, toddstarnes.com, and check out some of the stories that he's got there, and some stories you won't find anywhere else. It's a great place to go, and you can download the interviews anytime, all the time, at toddstarnes.com. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll have Frank Corder from Mississippi Y'all Politics. They really got it going on with that Governor Tate Reeves down there, and we're going to talk to Frank about that and some of the wonderful things that are happening in the Magnolia State. Technically, I can say Mississippi, because I did graduate with a degree from Mississippi State, but once you do that, you are then free to drop a syllable, so it's going to be Mississippi Y'all Politics. 844-747-8868. It's open line Friday. We go to Ron in Florida on WOCA. Ron, thanks for calling in the Todd Starnes Show. How you doing?
You're doing a great job, and I'm doing well, praise God. I just wanted to, it's a privilege to be on your show, first of all.
Thank you, Ron. It's a privilege for me to be here as well. Let's enjoy this time, and I'm excited that you're in one great state and you want to talk about another great state.
Yeah, I want to talk about Texas and Tim Abbott, and I want to send a big blessing and a big hug. You know, it's touching to see that the people of America are repenting. And I want you to know that the wicked derive their power and keep it with innocent blood. So many children have been murdered by something they call abortion, but it's not a choice. It's not their body. It's a living creature. So they've banned it at heartbeat. A number of other states are working on that. And Brother, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If a people who are called by my name will humble themselves and bow down and repent and cry out to me in heaven, I will hear their prayer and heal their land." I see a healing and a great revival coming, brother. Be blessed. You guys keep the good work up and talk to me.
Absolutely. Hey, Ron, thank you so much. And this is a topic that is very close to my heart. Not that I have or my family members have experienced abortion, but I'm an adoptive father. I adopted my daughter when she was 2 days old. And the birth parents chose life. There is always that crossroad where they can say yes or no. And they chose life, and they've trusted us to raise this sweet girl into adulthood. And the innocent have continued to be under attack through abortion. And this is a topic that's close to my heart. And that's why when I do tithing, in addition to that, there's actually an organization in our flagship city of Memphis called Life Choices that provides pregnancy counseling, provides pregnancy medical treatment. They also provide just general counseling for couples who are expecting a child. They provide adoption services. But on top of that, they also, and this is what really gets me, and this is what I love about the love of Christ, they also minister to women who have had abortions and are suffering guilt, shame, pain from that, because there's nothing more than the blood of Christ. That's all that you need. And his love is always enough. But you're right. At some point, we have to turn to God. We have to stop and ask for forgiveness. And I think Governor Greg Abbott's heartbeat bill is a massive step in the right direction. Awesome to hear from you, Ron, in Florida. Awesome to hear the story coming out of Texas. Appreciate your call from WOCA. 844-747-8868. On Facebook Live, Ronnie says, I'm a real American and I support Israel. He's gotten onto the Todd Starnes Facebook page and has given us a like and joined our conversation. Craig says, oh my God, enough to read some mail, resupply, heal a little, and away we go. He's answering the question, do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? William says, no way. Democrats love terrorism. Laura in Kentucky says, I'm supporting Israel because it's God's chosen nation. Psalm 122:6. Preach on, my sister. 844-747-8868. George in North Carolina on the talk station. Is this the George? Hello.
This is the George, a United Methodist Church advanced lay speaker. And nobody is talking about the coincidence of the Hamas attacks 50 days after Passover, and we're into 7 weeks of Jewish holidays and celebrations interrupted by Hamas. So we've got something going on here, and I think a lot of scripture is being fulfilled. So let it happen.
You know, and Israel did not seem surprised by this attack at all. They are on perpetual guard in Israel. And I have a lot of respect for their military. Virtually everybody comes up and serves their country there. It's an amazing place in which I've never visited. It's a bucket list place for me to go there. And it's incredible that despite this attack and during what would be considered perhaps a holy period, that they are ready and they're having none of it, and they are pushing back. And you know what the great thing about we can learn from them, George, is Israel doesn't care what everybody else thinks. They are worrying about taking care of their own. They're not worried about being woke. They're not worried about what others say or think about them. They are simply being the sovereign nation that they are. Massive respect, and yet another reason why we stand with Israel here at the Todd Starnes Show. 844-747-8868. Todd is on assignment today, but he will be back on Monday. He won't say where he's at. He has turned off his TPS, his Todd positioning system, and that's okay. That's okay. Coming up in about 9 minutes, we'll have Frank Corder. We're talking about the great state of Mississippi. We've been able to hear Ron brag about Florida. We talked about Governor Greg Abbott and the great work he's doing in Texas. Well, Mississippi's no slouch either, and we're going to hear about some of those great things. Also, Arizona's fighting the good fight in the election audit. We're going to talk to Representative Debbie Lesko about that and talk about border security as well. Hour number three, we'll have Denise Harley from the Alliance Defending Freedom, and we'll have Scott Lamb, Liberty University, to action-packed open line. Do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? 844-747-8868. Tim Van Horn in for the Todd Starnes.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Hello, everybody. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. He is on assignment today. He's off doing something probably pretty deplorable, because that's how he rolls. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Casual Friday. It's Open Line Friday. And we are so glad that you are here with us for hour number two of the Todd Starnes Show. 844-747-8868. And make sure you go to toddstarnes.com. That's toddstarnes.com. Our live show blog is up. You get a preview of some of the guests. If you hear a great guest, you can download that interview in podcast form. And you can also take a look at maybe some of the notes or some of the extra documents that they provide. And it's kind of an inside look with what's going on with our guests. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we've got Congresswoman Debbie Lesko from Arizona. We'll talk about the border. We'll talk about Israel as well. Oh, yeah, we'll definitely talk a lot about that. And don't forget, at Todd Starnes Facebook Live, we are streaming right now. We're going to check in on some of your comments in just a little bit. Let's go to the phones, though. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, we talk to the managing editor of Y'all Politics down in the great, and I mean great, state of Mississippi. We say hello to our friend Frank Corder. Frank, happy Friday. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Tim. Good to talk to you guys.
It's great to have you on. And for those of you who listen to us on our on our flagship station, KWAM in Memphis, Frank is a frequent guest because Mississippi is a bordering state to Tennessee, and we get to hear very frequently. It's almost like you're bragging about how awesome Mississippi is. And I think a lot of it probably starts with the governor, Tate Reeves. And if you don't mind, give us a bit of an elevator speech about how effective and how thoughtful he was during the coronavirus pandemic and how he treated Mississippians.
Well, you know, Tim, one of the things about Governor Reeves that I'm most impressed by is the fact that, unlike others who stated that they actually followed the science, Governor Reeves actually followed the science. He listened to the medical professionals here in our state. He tracked the numbers. You know, by trade, he's an old accountant and treasurer, so he knows how to watch those numbers. He saw what was happening, and he took action based on actual fact versus politics. And thankfully, our state revenues are reaching all-time highs. Wow. Our economy is fully opening. And our mask mandates are all gone except for one, which is in the schools. And he has said this week to us here at Y'all Politics that he's not putting those back on for next school year. So our economy is just roaring right now.
Some of the most impressive images in the last 6 weeks, Frank, have come out of Oxford, Mississippi, and out of Starkville, Mississippi, where SEC baseball has been in full force, some of the best college baseball in the country, and some of those games drawing 10, 12,000 people without masks, and it basically turned back the clock to 2019. It's a glorious scene that's been shared across the country, and I think maybe set an example, emboldened others to do the same.
It has. You know, Tim, this week, the NCAA announced that they were going to allow full capacity stadiums.
Wow.
For their upcoming baseball regionals. And guess what? Our three universities here in this state are up to host possibly. So, you know, us being open, us being economically open, us being free here in Mississippi to breathe has given us opportunity possibly to host not just one, but maybe even three regionals.
And it is a huge deal. Because, and I'm going to put you on the spot on national radio. Don't worry, I'll buy lunch next time. But with the SEC, with the two Mississippi schools, Arkansas being number one in the country, Vanderbilt, Tennessee being right at the top as well, some would even argue that SEC baseball is bigger and more dominant than SEC football in their sport.
It is, you know, and also we've got Conference USA here in our state with the University of Southern Mississippi.
The Eagles, Golden Eagles, right?
In the top 25. Yeah, Golden Eagles. And so we are very well poised, I think, to benefit from the openness of our state throughout this pandemic. And I think from our economic standpoint, it's going to help not only our local communities, but our state as a whole.
Frank Corder, the managing editor of Y'all Politics, is joining us on the Todd Starnes Show this afternoon. Frank, I want to ask about, instead of the executive branch, let's talk about some of the legislators. And Roger Wicker has come out strong against critical race theory. Can you talk about that?
He has. You know, he issued a statement today after sending a letter to the U.S. Secretary of Defense this week questioning the firing of the head of the U.S. Space Force over partisan comments on Marxism and critical race theory. Senator Wicker has taken a stand against what he calls that practice as being un-American. He says it's unjust and a failure of due process. And look, Tim, I couldn't agree more. Critical race theory is definitely un-American. It is a theory pushed by Marxist leftists in this country, and we cannot stand to have this taught in our schools.
It's pretty incredible, because on that note, it's pretty funny to me, Frank, that Nicole Hannah-Jones, the creator of the 1619 project, her rhetoric is so riddled with falsehoods and insanity that even the leftist University of North Carolina won't even give her tenure. How bad is that when the Tar Heels won't even give you an easy, cushy gig?
Well, you know, and that's the thing about this, Tim, is that this kind of thing creeps in if you're not careful. And over the past 10, 15, 20 years in our academic institutions across this country, you've seen leftists kind of become in charge, and they have begun pushing not only this critical race theory, but also other leftist and socialist ideologies. And our young people are just confounded and confused about what it even means to be a real, true patriot to this country.
Yeah, it's interesting to see those who will stand up against it and who will cower to it, but it's been very impressive. Roger Wicker has definitely been a friend to Mississippians in that aspect. Another person who has been very effective, could you tell us a little bit about your Attorney General, Lynn Fitch? She seems to be unafraid of big tech.
I tell you, Tim, the thing with Attorney General Lynn Fitch, she's the first term AG here in this state, the first female in that role, and she has been pushing back against this Biden administration from day one, not only with big tech, but also with other very leftist kind of ideologies, but especially on this big tech. You know, she's taken it to them. She's filed a lawsuit against them, trying to find ways to allow more free speech and not have big tech limit free speech in this state.
It's absolutely incredible. And Frank, we got about 60 seconds. I would like to just kind of finish where we started, and that's with Governor Tate Reeves. And he has said no more. He's put his foot down. And it's my understanding that at the earliest possible date, he is cutting off the federal unemployment supplement, that extra $300 a week. He's ready for those now hiring signs to go down and have those jobs filled, right?
That's correct. You know, he's one of the first ones in the nation to call for that. And as of June 12th, the first day that it's allowed, he is cutting that off. And he's saying, look, we have over 50,000 or so jobs open in this state right now. It's time to find one and get back to work.
Frank, I love you. Frank Quarter, managing editor of Y'all Politics. But I got to tell you, you guys got to stop trying to get rid of that state sales tax. You're going to funnel everybody out of Tennessee and into Mississippi. You guys cut it out down there. Behave, okay?
We will try, but look, everyone's welcome here in this great state.
And you can see everybody's smiling faces because those masks are off, and that glorious, fresh Mississippi air is just wafting through the air. Frank Quarter, managing editor of Y'all Politics, we're going to put all your info and your social media contacts on our Todd Starnes Live show blog. Send people there and find out all about all the great things that are going on throughout the Magnolia State. Thanks so much for your time today, Frank.
Thanks, Tim. And just remember, we're not woke and we ain't broke here in Mississippi.
That's right. You ain't woke and you ain't broke. That's there is a little bit of math logic to that, because you know what? They step out. They believe in the science. They believe in Mississippians, and they don't buy the hype. Love them down in the Magnolia State. 844-747-8868. Do you think the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? We'll get your comments from Facebook Live. We'll take your calls again, 844-747-8868. Charlie the truck driver, give us a couple of honks, because you're up next, brother. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Tim Van Horn in for Todd today. He will be back on Monday. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. ToddStarnes.com is the website where you can get the Toddcast podcast. You can listen to previous episodes of the Todd Starnes Show. Did you like a particular interview? You can always go back and listen to it time and again. It's free to download and listen at ToddStarnes.com. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, we've got Congresswoman Debbie Lesko from Arizona. We'll talk about Israel. We'll talk about the border as well. We've got Denise Harley from Alliance Defending Freedom coming up at in the third hour. And there's a little bit of a discouraging turn in a case that they've been working on with the College of the Ozarks. We want to make you aware of, and we'll talk to Denise about that because they fight the good fight at the ADF. Also, Scott Lamb, Liberty University, will be joining in hour number three as well. 844-747-8868 on Facebook Live. Give Todd Starnes a like there. Join our live stream and our chat. When it comes to believing whether the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last, Beth Fowler says just simply nope. Brian says, no, unfortunately, these wars go back through biblical times. Marie says a temporary ceasefire. Carolyn, talking about 10-year-old Renana from Israel, in her comments about John Oliver's comments on Last Week Tonight, his show, trying to equivocate Israel defending themselves with being just as guilty for bloodshed for playing the defensive. This girl in Israel set him straight. Carolyn said that child was amazing. God bless her. Marion says that child is so smart and brave. I can't imagine having to live in fear every day. I stand with Israel. Amen, Marion. Amen, Carolyn. Amen to our great callers who are checking in today. It's Open Line Friday. Do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? If you need a thought starter, bada boom, bada bing, there you go. Let's go to the phone lines, though. And Charlie wants to talk about infrastructure. Charlie, the truck driver listening in on our station KWAM, our flagship. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Tim. I appreciate you taking my call. I've been driving trucks since about 2010, and I cross that bridge in Memphis a whole lot, you know, the I-40 bridge. I just heard a few days ago there was a crack in the bridge, and I totally forgot about it.
Uh-oh.
I was right there yesterday, and I had to take the detour around 240 and go south on 55 down here to Vicksburg, you know. So I'm wondering why these Democrats keep redefining words. I mean, infrastructure means roads and bridges. We truck drivers are out here risking our lives every day driving freight all across the country. And God knows what would happen if one of those bridges collapsed, especially a major bridge like that one. I mean, it's a major freight byway for truck drivers through there. And so I think Joe Biden needs to do something about that.
Charlie, I think you hit it right on the head, Charlie, because, and to update our listeners, the Interstate 40 bridge, which sees tens of thousands of vehicles in either direction crossing from Memphis into Arkansas, is now shut down indefinitely because of not just a crack, but a break that was recently discovered. And now we're finding out that crack may have instigated all the way back into 2016. They have fired that inspector. They're now having to reinspect every bridge in which that inspector was the lead on. God only knows how many of these bridges may be compromised. And you hit it right on the head that infrastructure needs to be the real focus of any infrastructure plan. I'm sorry, racism is not infrastructure. Government is not infrastructure. Bridges, roads, overpasses, that's infrastructure. I think you hit it right on the head. And Charlie, be careful out there for any of our truckers between Memphis and Little Rock. If you're heading toward Memphis, that traffic down to around 25 miles an hour on the one and only open bridge on Interstate 55. So please be careful and allow yourself some extra time. And thank you for all that you do to keep the supply chain going. God bless you and stay safe on the road there, Charlie. We appreciate you. 844-747-8868. Mark in Georgia on WDUN. Hey, Mark.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just was calling in about the
Hamas and Israel crisis?
Yes.
It never does change. They always do the same thing over and over again. Hamas needs money, so they start firing on Israel. They have a war for a few days and then goes several years ahead, and it's the same thing several years down the road. They haven't ever solved anything.
I'm so skeptical about this ceasefire, Mark. I see this not necessarily as an opportunity to stand down, but more as an opportunity for them to get resources to reload and start back again. I have to agree with many of our callers and our Facebook Live friends that say this is going to go on and on. Because honestly, Mark, if Israel were to stand down, they would be blown off of the map. If Hamas stands down, we coexist in peace. But we know that that typically doesn't happen. I'm so skeptical about this. But I haven't always been right about everything, and that's why I turn to you, the smartest audience in radio. Do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? 844-747-8868. And you guys have been on point this morning. It is Open Line Friday, which means you can talk about whatever you want. But if you need a topic to get you going, of course, you know, within the last 24 hours, we've seen the ceasefire implemented between Israel and Hamas. Congress, not too thrilled about that, at least some factions. You see the squad coming out saying Israel needs to be held accountable for firing at school buildings and other civilian buildings. But wait, there's a catch. That's where Hamas are hiding their missiles. And that in itself is a violation of General War Convention. What's Israel to do? Are they to stand there and just stand down? Absolutely not. They've got every right to defend themselves. Just because Hamas has the gall and the audacity to use human shields, that doesn't give them a free pass to do whatever they want. Coming up, we've got bottom of the hour, news, weather, and traffic. Very excited to be talking to Congresswoman Debbie Lesko from Arizona. We're going to talk about the border, but we're also going to get her take on what's happening with the Israel-Hamas conflict as well, the ceasefire that is currently at least very tenuous at best, I think, still in place. It's Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. And Grace Baker, remind me before sometime before the end of the hour, we need to hit that story about where you can pretty much find anything on Amazon. In fact, one guy did. He tried to solve a little bit of a crime and violation problem on his own, and then he got in trouble for trying to solve the problem without violence. It's a crazy story. We'll have that coming up for you. But I got to tell you, when you hear the story of this guy in Memphis, I think you'll stand up and applaud, because sometimes you got to make your own solutions. That's what makes America great. 844-747-8868. Tim Van Horn in for the great Todd Starnes. Welcome back. Tim Van Horn for Todd Starnes today. He is on assignment. 844-747-8868. It's Open Line Friday, but my gift to you is a thought starter. If you'd love to call in and talk about whatever, that's fine. But if you're looking for something to talk about, do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? It's less than 24 hours old. Unfortunately, I'm not so sure folks in New York got the message, because we're seeing pro-Palestinian supporters out in the streets attacking like mobs against Jewish Americans in New York City at restaurants, spitting on them, throwing projectiles, walking up, trying to call out Jews and hitting them with haymaker punches, throwing projectiles. And we even saw a video of the firebomb that was thrown into a crowd yesterday. There may be a ceasefire in between Israel and Hamas, but I'm not sure folks and thugs in New York City got the message. 844-747-8868. Make sure you go to Todd Starnes on Facebook, and we are streaming live. Do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? Well, James says, nope, don't be surprised if this continues for the foreseeable future. Also, you have Larry that says, nope, it will not last. Keep them coming at Todd Starnes. We got plenty more comments. We'll get to more of those as the show goes on. 844-747-8868. It's Open Line Friday. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bruce has been patiently waiting in Hot Springs, Arkansas on KARN. Hey, Bruce.
Hey there. How are you? First of all, I'm an Orthodox Jew. I'm here. I'm waiting to make Aliyah, which means immigration to Israel.
Okay.
A little background. I'm 66. I am a veteran, retired school teacher. And I've got a lot of family and a lot of friends in Israel. Do I think it's going to last as long as the last one lasted? Huh. Every time Israel gets to the point where they're going to obliterate Hamas, the world goes after Israel and says, no, 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 you can't do that. You can't do that. Hamas takes children and throws them in front of the camera, dead children. Why? Because they put those children in the buildings.
Yes.
I've got something really interesting to share with you and your listeners.
Okay, Bruce.
The word Hamas comes from, in our Bible, the Torah, comes from Parsha Noach, which is Noah's story. Hamas means robbery. There was robbery in the world, and that's one of the reasons why God destroyed it. And what do you think Hamas is trying to do? Rob Jews of their life. And now they're coming to America and are trying to rob us of our lives. It's frightening what's going on in Los Angeles. It's frightening what's going on in New York. I've never seen this in my entire life, how bad it is and how difficult it is to be a Jew.
And in our own leadership, our own national leadership is not sending a signal out for it to stop either. I think by the silence or even some of the encouragement by the squad, some of the left, the Democrats, I think if anything, they're helping to throw a little bit more gas out of the can and onto the flame.
Right. You know, there is no leadership. You know, if there was leadership, you have Donald Trump in there. First of all, Hamas wouldn't have started this thing. And because, you know, we got a wimpy. You know, I was in the Navy. There's all sorts of expletives that I learned a long time ago. We got this guy in office who is nothing. He's run by people who side with murderers. Hamas does not want a state. Hamas wants all Jews in Israel dead, period. And for your listeners, the population of Israel is about the population of New York City.
Yet here they stand against the rest of the Middle East, standing hard, standing firm, standing bravely in the face of evil. Bruce, thank you so much for the call, and we wish you a terrific weekend. 844-747-8868. We go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, and we are welcoming now from the great state of Arizona. We say hello to Congresswoman Debbie Lesko. Congresswoman, thank you for joining us on the Todd Starnes Show today. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm back in Arizona. Flew in last night. And so here we are in a border state, and border security has been a huge issue for years and years and years in Arizona. And I tell you, Biden's border policies are creating this crisis. It's a shame. It's really a shame.
Congresswoman, I can only imagine, and I want you to expound on what's happening in Arizona. And I can imagine, simply because we're now getting reports in our home state of Tennessee that in Chattanooga, they're now accepting unaccompanied alien minors being flown in by the plane load in the dark of night from Dallas to stay in Chattanooga and to be distributed across the southeastern United States. We're seeing this, and we're far from the border, so I can only imagine if you could maybe speak more about what's happening in your own state, which is right there at the border of Mexico.
Well, the same type of things. I mean, ICE is releasing these illegal immigrants into our communities, including Arizona, not giving court dates to return, just releasing them. I don't, you know, I talked to Andy Biggs, and he had the opportunity to talk to Mayorkas in a hearing, Secretary Mayorkas, and he said that it appeared that, you know, he really didn't know what was going on. I mean, the one thing that we know for sure is that they're not enforcing the law, and they don't want to enforce the law. And when I say they, the Democrats, President Biden, all the way down. I mean, President Biden appointed Kamala Harris to try to solve the border crisis. I mean, how many days ago was that? It was like, you know, 60 days ago, approximately. She hasn't even gone to the border.
Congresswoman, she has been...
How can you solve a crisis if you're not going to go to the border and talk to the men and women with boots on the ground to find out what's going on?
She is about...
This is a joke.
Yeah, yeah,
these people want open borders. The Democrats want open borders. They want to give free stuff to illegal immigrants. They're just letting them into our society. It is total insanity.
She has been essentially non-existent on this. She is about as interested as going to the border and taking the same amount of time as I am to unloading the dishwasher at my house. It's just not something I'm going to get around to anytime soon. It is shameful because you have a crisis at the border, and they're just simply looking the other way. Are there any remedies that you can see from the federal government to be able to help, you know, the border states at this point? Or is this something where you're going to have to get some support maybe from the state government? Because this is absolutely a crisis. It's not just a crisis of population, but it's also a health crisis. It's a safety crisis, as you have people that are being caught and released back into society with some of these violent crimes that are being committed across the country. And basically, you have non-citizens having more rights than citizens.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, in the long run, I hope American voters wake up and see what's happening and decide that they have to elect people into positions that are going to secure our border. In addition to securing our border, you have to elect people that actually want to keep dangerous prisoners in prison, because the Democrat policies want to release dangerous prisoners into our society, too. They want to defund the police. They want to take away our Second Amendment rights. I mean, it's a total catastrophe. You add all of that stuff together, and it's just absolute chaos. But in the near term, our governor, Governor Ducey in Arizona, last month declared a state of an emergency, and he sent a National Guard down to help at the border. This is what border states have to do. They have to take things into their own hands. I served in the Arizona legislature back when we did a bill, SB 1070, that all of the liberals throughout the whole nation said was so terrible, and they boycotted Arizona back in the day. But it was the same thing.
Yeah.
They weren't enforcing the law. The laws are already on the books. They should be securing the border, but they don't. I mean, the hypocrisy of the Democrats is just mind-blowing. And, you know, the only reason I can think that they want these totally open borders is because they want these people to be their future voters. That's the only thing I can think of. Why would you want this mass chaos? Because it's not only hurting America and American workers by taking away, you know, American worker jobs, also costing the states tons of money. But the fentanyl has gone up. What did they seize? I think over 6,000 pounds of fentanyl through the end of April. It's gone through the roof. This is a total catastrophe, a total crisis. You even see Democrat Congress members and Democrat senators, our two senators from the state of Arizona, saying, yes, this is a crisis, Biden. You need to do something about it. But it falls on deaf ears. It's just absolutely nuts.
It is a danger, and even with all the work of the National Guard, and God bless them, we're seeing the end around by the Biden administration flying unaccompanied, illegal immigrant children into states up and over the border. It's an absolute shame that's what's going on. We got about a minute and a half left. Congresswoman, I wanted to ask you about a couple of other things. I wanted to ask you about another border crisis, and that's Israel and Hamas. How do you see things going from here forward? I know there's a ceasefire, but it seems like that's always pretty tenuous.
Well, I'm a huge supporter of defending Israel, and always have been. I've visited Israel two times. They're surrounded by enemies, and they're a key ally of American of us, the United States, and I want to defend them. You know, President Trump had really made some progress with Israel and Arab nations with the Abraham Accords, and now it's all being unwinded. I mean, you have Biden in there for, what, 4 months? And now everything has broke loose. Crisis after crisis, including this crisis. And, geez, I just hope American voters wake up, and don't buy all of these lies that the Biden administration put forth to get elected.
And some of your colleagues from across the hall.
If we don't turn this around.
Some of your colleagues across the hall in the squad have been acting up. They are pro-Palestinian. They are pro-Hamas. And they're adding fuel to the fire. And in fact, it may even be encouraging so much to the point that we've seen this violence in New York City over the last 24 to 48 hours. These caravans of these mobs of thugs beating up Jewish Americans just for simply being Jewish. Got just a few seconds left, Congresswoman, and I just wanted to get you on the record because our audience adores you, and I wanted to just let you, in your own words, let us know to verify that you voted against this January 6th commission, and that's one of the reasons why you were actually out of town.
Yes, I voted against the January 6th commission. If I really thought that we could get to the bottom of this in a non-political fashion, I would have been inclined to agree with it. But we know Pelosi is going to turn this into a political tool against Republicans. That's all it is. The timing is timed around the release of the report around the primaries. She just wants to retain power. That's all this is going to be used for. And you know, that she's a political animal. That's what she does.
Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much. Say hello to everyone in the great state of Arizona. Thank you for your vote on that January 6th inquisition. Thank you for being a woman of your word. Thank you for spending time with us today on the Todd Starnes Show.
Thank you so much.
All right. There's Representative Debbie Lesko from the great state of Arizona. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. Open line Friday. RB wants to ask me what? Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back, Tim Van Horn for Todd Starnes. 844-747-8868. Coming up next hour, Denise Harley, Senior Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. We'll also have Scott Lamb from Liberty University and more. That's coming up. 844-747-8868. ToddStarnes.com. Go to ToddStarnes.com. And always updating there some stories that you typically won't find anywhere else. You know why? Because we don't sweep the wrongdoing of the left under the rug. We put a big old LED spotlight on it and shine it at ToddStarnes.com. We're going to go in reverse alphabetical order. Before we go to RB, we're going to go to RJ in Commerce, Georgia on WDUN. Hey, RJ.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Well, it's open mic Friday. First time I've ever called. Just got something for food for thought for everybody.
All right, bring it.
I do support the United States military. I used to train them, even though I was not in the military. But have you ever thought that we are the only country that infects every other country? We have a base here. We have a base there. We have a base here. You know what? I'm not saying give up our seat on the council, you know, the UN Council. If somebody asks for help, by all means, we help them. But bring all of our people home. Forget about having a base over in Russia and a base over in Guam and a base. You know what? Bring everybody home that's all in foreign bases and bring them here. Then we can take care of all our problems. We can take care of the borders. We can take care of everything.
RJ, let me ask you specifically about the Israeli conflict with Hamas. And I get your point that, and I think Rand Paul has been very clear in his belief, and he's essentially phrased it, stop endless wars. In this particular instance, I heard you mention, you know, supporting when asked to. What are your thoughts on the U.S. supporting Israel in this conflict with the Palestinians?
The biggest thing about offering help is you have to remain neutral when you look at the whole cause of it, and then you have to act on it. So that's why we have the UN Council. That's why we have different representatives from different countries that all sit together and make a decision unilaterally instead of just, okay, well, I'm going to go with this person, or I'm going to go with that person. Until they ask for our help, then we put it to a vote at the UN Council, and then we act as a group, not as singular.
I your take is interesting, RJ, because as I listen to it, I hear you saying that we should bring the troops home, but then it sounds like you want our decisions on military and maybe even sovereignty to go before a council of people that maybe don't have our best interests at heart. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, no. I want us to take care of our country like Russia takes care of their country. England takes care of their country. I want us to take care of our own people first, and then if someone offers help, if we need to help them, we can help them. If we choose to, put it to a vote with our people, say, hey, should we go and help these people? But if you look at it, we've got a base pretty much everywhere you can throw a dot on the world globe. We have a base there.
RJ, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate your thoughts. And he says, bring everybody home from around the world. I'm not so sure I trust the UN. There seem to be about 20, 30, 40, 50 too many despots. Real quick call, RB in Benton, Arkansas. You've got 20 seconds. What's your question on Open Line Friday?
Hello, Tim. To quickly answer your question, no, there'll be no peace in Israel until Christ returns to claim his throne.
Amen.
With that said, you mentioned earlier the greatest baseball team in the land, the Arkansas Razorbacks. I have to ask, what's your relationship to the National Coach of the Year, Dave Van Horn?
My relationship to National Coach of the Year at the Arkansas Razorbacks is I'm just a big fan. Woo, pig suey. Thanks, RB in Benton, Arkansas. Go Hogs on KARN. Coming up, top of the hour, news, weather, and traffic. Third hour of Todd Stearns on the way. Tim Van Horn in for the great Todd Stir.
Casting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Hello, America. Welcome to hour number three of the Todd Stearns Show. Tim Van Horn in for the always deplorable Todd Stearns. He's on assignment today. But no worries. He's going to get some sweet tea, recharge, and be back on Monday. Our phone number, 844-747-8868. It is Open Line Friday. You can talk about whatever with me this hour. Need a thought starter? Here's one for you. Of course, the ceasefire with Israel and Hamas began in the last 24 hours. Do you believe that ceasefire will last? 844-747-8868. And of course, you can always go to toddstearns.com and check out our live show blog. We have a preview of upcoming guests and additional information that all the cool kids love. Go to toddstearns.com, and we have also previous episodes, previous interviews that you can download as well at toddstearns.com. We'll check in with our Facebook Live friends coming up in just a few moments, but let's get right to the phone lines. We go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, and we say hello to the Senior Counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom. Denise Harley joins us on the Todd Stearns Show. Denise, thank you for joining me. How are you?
Hey, Tim. Doing great today. How are you?
Doing terrific. We appreciate you joining us today. And there is a big decision coming up, I guess, to be determined in the Supreme Court that could impact Roe versus Wade. And I suspect a lot of it goes back to this Gestational Age Act. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, a majority of Americans support common sense laws like the one that Mississippi passed, which protects unborn children and their mothers. It essentially prohibits late-term abortions after 15 weeks gestation, except in very rare instances. This is a totally common sense law. I mean, by 15 weeks, a baby has had a heartbeat. It tastes mom's food, has fingers and toes that move, it can kick, it can hiccup. This is a human life we're talking about. But under the Supreme Court precedent, it's unclear whether that's consistent with Roe. In fact, it looks like it's not. And so it's very interesting and encouraging to think that the Supreme Court wants to take a look at this and weigh in.
Denise, as a conservative, we've seen this dance before. We've gotten our hopes up before on some of these social issues, only to essentially be let down on a technicality, maybe let down by political leanings getting in the way. As it stands, it feels like at the very least it's a 6-3, maybe a 5-4 conservative-leaning Supreme Court. Will that have any impact at all with this as it moves forward?
I definitely think each justice's judicial philosophy is going to be critical, because the ultimate question is, does the Constitution guarantee a right to abortion? It doesn't. You can look at it. It's not in there. That was something that was fabricated in the 1970s by seven white men who were on the court at the time. Oh, I'm sorry. One of them was, in fact, African-American. But point being, it was, you know, we hear from the other side how men are controlling women's bodies and whatnot. But the truth is, this so-called right to abortion was completely made up. It's never been there. So linking it back to who's on the court now, we have justices who have said and shown that they will apply the law as it is written. They are not imputing their own interpretations and new concepts of privacy and so forth into the Constitution. And so I think that is a very good sign, because the Constitution does not say that unborn children can be killed by their parents at any point. It's completely silent on that.
And Denise, maybe I've put the cart way before the horse. I know that the Supreme Court is it looks like they're going to be looking at this. But let's talk about the timeline and things that have to happen. I mean, we're closer to point A than to point B, with point B being a decision at the Supreme Court, right? Can you kind of give us the elevator speech of what's got to happen and what the expected timeline would be on what could be an historic ruling one way or the other?
You bet. Everyone needs to just be real patient and just take a deep breath, get off the edge of your seat, because it's going to be a long process. First, we'll begin the briefing process. So sometime in late summer, Mississippi will get to file its opening brief on the merits, making all of its arguments in full as to why its law should be upheld. Then the other side, the abortion clinic, will be able to file a response, a brief, and then Mississippi will have another chance to file a reply brief. That's going to take all the way into the fall. I expect oral arguments to be heard in the Supreme Court sometime in the first half of November. And then we wait some more, because the Supreme Court does not have any specific deadline on when it has to make rulings. And so I think by the end of the term in summer 2022, so by the end of June 2022 is when I would expect to see a ruling. And I just want everyone to know there is a wide range of possibilities here. Despite what you might be hearing in the media, we really have no idea what's going to happen at the end of this.
Denise, you mentioned oral arguments, and help me, because I'm definitely a lay person on this. Will the oral arguments be something that the public would be able to view? And also, how much time is a side typically given to make their case before the nine?
Well, thanks to COVID, the public is now able to listen in real time to the Supreme Court arguments. Before, it was always a closed courtroom. You have to stand in line for hours or get a ticket reservation to see the arguments, and you'd have to be physically in D.C. But now, and I presume the court's going to keep it this way, even if they open up the courtroom again, anyone can listen in via C-SPAN. There's a lot of different outlets that will let you stream in. And so, yes, I would encourage anyone who's interested to listen to these arguments. Each side typically gets 20 minutes, sometimes 30 in a more complicated case. But the whole thing should be done within 1 hour.
How much pressure is on an attorney? Because, I mean, with 20 or 30 minutes, you pretty much have to make not just every word, but every syllable count.
Absolutely. And these attorneys prepare for months. They do practice moot arguments. We call them moot courts, where we have our colleagues will pretend to be justices and ask all the hardest questions that they can think of. And keep in mind, you know, these justices, every single one of them is an extremely brilliant mind. And all of their clerks that are working for them are the top of the top of the top brightest young minds out of law schools. And so it is definitely the Super Bowl of lawyering.
And joining us on the program, Senior Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, Denise Harley, is with us. And Denise, before we break away for the day, would love for you to give us the elevator speech about who Alliance Defending Freedom is and how people can help you do what you do.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for asking. Alliance Defending Freedom is a nonprofit, faith-based legal organization committed to religious liberty and free speech, protecting life, marriage, and the family in America, just protecting those constitutional rights. We do all of our work pro bono, meaning we don't charge our clients, and we just depend on ministry friends and generous donors to contribute so that we can continue to do our work. We've had 12 victories in the Supreme Court in the past decade, which is fantastic by God's grace. And we would love for any of your listeners to follow along with our cases by signing up for our newsletter. They can go to adflegal.org. Sign up there and you know, stay on top of cases like this one and other major things that are happening in terms of free speech and religious freedom these days.
Denise, we're going to put that on our live show blog at toddstarns.com, where they can learn more, where they can sign up, and where they can contribute. Denise Harley, Senior Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for all that you guys do. And thank you for giving us a little Supreme Court SCOTUS 101 on what to expect. We can kind of slow our roll because we're not going to see anything out of this really decision-wise until summer of 2022. Thank you so much and hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tim. Same to you.
All right, there's Denise Harley on the Todd Starnes Show. 844-747-8868. Do you think the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? Give us a call on that. We would love to hear from you. We're going to hear from Elsie. She's listening on WHKP in North Carolina. She's on deck, and you can be too. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back, Tim Van Horn for Todd Starnes. He's on assignment today. He'll be back on Monday. 844-747-8868. No worries. It's Open Line Friday. I believe it's also Casual Friday. At least seems that way. We'll roll with it for the rest of this hour for sure. 844-747-8868. You could talk about whatever you want. If you need something to spur the conversation, of course, Israel and Hamas. The ceasefire underway over the last 24 hours. Will it last? Do you think it will last? 844-747-8868. ToddStarnes.com. Constantly updating with stories. There's one on the squad there. There's also video of the Jews being targeted with a firebomb in New York City. There's a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, but did the folks in New York City get the memo on that? Thugs and caravans of pro-Palestinian mobs coming out and assaulting Jewish Americans in New York City on multiple instances. In fact, disrupting diners, spitting on them, throwing bottles, throwing other projectiles, throwing punches. it is really a sad state of affairs. On our Todd Starnes Facebook page, we got a live stream going, and in regards to the enablement by the squad, getting folks fired up and out into the streets and assaulting Jews, Jones says, I say the squad needs to be impeached, and they need to go where they are liked. Joan, that's absolutely, positively deplorable. I like it. Thank you, Joan, for checking in. Also, we have Susan says, not if the Democrats keep their hate for Israel on, that ceasefire won't last. Firmly believe that Hamas rocket attack originated because they were listening to certain Dems. We know who they are and felt their support and assumed America would side with them. Keep them coming on our Facebook page with Todd Starnes, and check it out. Give us a big old like if you haven't done so yet. 844-747-8868. It is an open line Friday. We open up our phone lines. We go to the great state of North Carolina, WHKP. It is Elsie. Hi, Elsie. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. I just wanted to say I don't think the Hamas will ever leave Israel alone. But you know, God says vengeance is mine. I can't find this scripture. I'm getting old and I can't remember my places. But it does say, woe unto those who raise arms against Israel. And they may be thinking that they're going to defeat Israel, but God's going to have his vengeance in the end.
As a Christian, I know that Israel, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, and thanks to Jesus's grace, you know, his love abounds to us Gentiles as well. And you're right. We can't turn our back on Israel. We absolutely cannot do that ever, because once we turn our back, we talk about what's the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing that can happen is if God turns his back on us. Absolutely. Elsie, thank you so much for calling. Thank you for holding. And I hope you have a fantastic weekend. All right. There's Elsie on Open Line Friday. 844-747-8868. And let's talk about some other national stories that have been going on. And this has to do with Chris Cuomo. And CNN, of course, his brother, the governor of the state of New York. And mysteriously, Chris has dialed down his coverage of Andrew Cuomo and the absolute leadership disaster, the thousands that have died in nursing homes, sending coronavirus positive patients back in with other healthy residents and causing them to get sick and eventually die. And, of course, the numerous sexual misconduct allegations. But look who has come to the rescue and to help be a guiding voice on how to handle the public relations. Well, none other than Chris Cuomo. Of course, Chris is very, very sorry.
Being a journalist and a brother to a politician is unique and a unique challenge. And I have a unique responsibility to balance those roles.
It's your choice, buddy.
It's not always easy. People can say and write what they want, but I want you to know the truth.
From you?
How I helped my brother also matters. When my brother's situation became turbulent, being looped into calls with other friends of his and advisors that did include some of his staff, I understand why that was a problem for CNN. It will not happen again. It was a mistake. Because I put my colleagues here, who I believe are the best in the business, in a bad spot. I never intended for that. I would never intend for that. And I am sorry for that.
Yet he goes on and he talks a bit more about family first, job second. So if you never really intended to do that, why didn't you just step aside for a little bit? Why didn't you take a leave of absence and go help your brother? I'm not saying you don't go help your brother. Blood is blood. But you don't muddy the water by sticking around and burying the lead of the story. Either step aside altogether and go be a brother or be a news anchor. You can't be both in this situation. He had his cake. He ate it too. Jeff Zucker let him get away with it. And let's be honest. He says it won't happen again. If it needs to happen again, it's probably going to happen again. The most trusted name in most airports, CNN. A station so good they have to pay their way to be on airport television screens. No wonder the airport experience is oftentimes miserable. It starts out because they force feed you CNN. Good grief. Well, Fox News' Lisa Kennedy was having none of it. She's talking about Chris Cuomo participating on those strategy calls, trying to help his brother. And Kennedy, well, she doesn't mix words. Here's cut two.
I think they're both meatheads, and I think it's reprehensible, and they obviously skipped the lesson in ethics. They should be ashamed of themselves. The reporter who asked Governor Cuomo if he had the blood of dead New Yorkers on his hand, if this book was written on the backs of dead New Yorkers, and he snapped at them and said, you know, these are lessons that we should learn from the pandemic. Yeah, the first one is don't put COVID-positive patients in nursing homes with healthy people who then succumb to the illness and die.
Amen.
He hasn't taken responsibility for that or the sexual harassment allegations. He's blamed his accusers. And if that's the advice his brother is giving him, they should both be ashamed of themselves. KDP.
Yeah, great points all around from Kennedy on Fox News. And she is usually a voice of reasonable thoughts and some common sense. But Chris Cuomo, he had his cake. He ate it, too. He should have stepped aside. He's always going to be Andrew's brother. You can't step aside from being a brother, but you can step aside from being a broadcaster. And he led his audience astray. I'm not sure what's worse, the fact that he did that or that most of CNN's loyal audience probably doesn't care that he lacks the ethics to make those judgment calls anyway. It's pretty lame, Chris. And of course, let's not forget how Chris went out and about and socialized and then staged his own coming up out of the basement video from recovering from COVID. Oh, wow. I wonder if they pay him by the syllable. If so, he's got to be filthy rich for talking out of both sides of his mouth. Coming up, bottom of the hour news, weather, and traffic for you in this afternoon. It's Friday. It's Open Line Friday. Coming up, we're going to talk to Liberty University. It's up next, 844-747-8868. Tim in for Todd. Welcome back, Tim Van Horn for Todd Starnes on this Friday, 844-747-8868. It's Open Line Friday. It's also wide open on Facebook, too, on the Todd Starnes show page. And we're getting just comments by the bushel today. Do you believe the Israel-Hamas ceasefire will last? People are responding to that and to Open Line Friday. Kevin says, I fully expect the Middle East situation to resemble the 70s. I remember all of the air fingers, quote, ceasefires. I agree with you, Tim. Hamas is simply agreeing to this ceasefire so they can restock for more. Jory says, both Cuomo are elite liars. You would not believe anything that came out of the mouth of either one of them. Blood on their hands. And appreciate that. Keep them coming to the Todd Starnes page. And, of course, 844-747-8868. ToddStarnes.com. That's the website to go for the latest, greatest stories that you won't find anywhere else. Plus, you can download interviews and latest Todd Starnes episodes, the Toddcast podcast at ToddStarnes.com. All right, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, and how appropriate. We talked to some of the fine folks at Liberty University and also the Standing for Freedom Center. We love you, Liberty University here. Joining us on the program now is Scott Lamb with Liberty University. He's the Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Engagement, and Ryan Lee Heffelbein, who is the Executive Director of the Standing for Freedom Center. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the Todd Starnes show today. Scott, I will talk with you. First of all, thank you for joining us. And I got to tell you, Liberty University, I love that. We have one of our weekend show hosts that just recently graduated from there. It is a beautiful place in the midst of God's country.
Oh, it is, Tim. And I tell you what, last weekend we graduated out 28,000 students, and they gathered with their parents and their grandparents, and we had a great time of celebration. And the neat thing is that they gathered on this thing, this piece of land that used to be a dairy farm, And 50 years ago, you know, cattle, you know, roamed, ate the grass, got milked each day. And now here we have 50,000 students show up for a graduation of young people, 18 to 20-year-olds, mostly for the residential program, and 100,000 in our online program, gathering to graduate and go forth as Christians, champions for Christ, on the same piece of land that cows once grazed. And all that was made possible because of the vision of one man who last Saturday was his the 14th anniversary of his death, and that's Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. And so I couldn't help but notice last week as all these people, a lot of whom were born before, you know, they had a chance to even know Dr. Falwell, but they were coming to celebrate Christ and the education that they had achieved over the last few years, and they're on land that one day, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, was just really sprouting up into what it is today. So I'm here today to really just sing the praise of the founder of our Liberty University and all that he was able to accomplish in his lifetime. So thanks for having us on.
Oh, glad that you could be on. Ryan Lee Helfenbein, the executive director for the Standing for Freedom Center. Ryan, I got to ask you about Jerry Falwell Sr., the good doctor, and you heard Scott talk about vision. But when we talk about Senior Falwell, it was more than just vision. He had the knowledge and to be able to look, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years ahead. But not only that, but he had the willpower to get things done, because oftentimes you got to go on faith and see what other people don't see. Can you speak to that?
Amen. Absolutely. And that's well framed, well said. You know, Dr. Falwell knew that every generation will face new challenges. He said, never quit. And he said, you'll never be out of trouble. There will always be challenges that face each and every passing generation. But you know what? One thing that does not change is the truth. The word of God, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands as testament forever. And so we recognize that truth never changes, and Dr. Falwell knew that, and he knew that each and every generation would need the Word of God, would need a spine of steel to face up to the challenges of that generation, but also to speak truth fearlessly, courageously, and in love. And that's what we're challenging ourselves with in this next generation of champions for Christ, these students that are going to face the world.
And Ryan, you speak multiple truths there, speaking about the truth. There is the truth. I don't care how famous you are of a celebrity talk show host on television. Oprah talks about your truth, my truth, their truth. There's only one truth, and that is the truth. That is the gospel. And I'll also speak to the fact, and as you said, people need to have the armor of God with them as they go forth, because in Christianity, those that maybe aren't familiar or have given their life to Christ maybe don't understand that once you give your life to Christ, you're not given a pass for an easy life the rest of the way. If anything, there are difficulties, there are trials towards sanctification.
Absolutely. Yeah. And on that note, let me just add one thing. The prophets of the age, and this is kind of a blight on the church, but the prophets of the age are largely these secularists, these atheists who are fearless. And I think of people like Jordan Peterson, James Lindsay, even James O'Keefe, who have no faith background but are willing to tell the truth and believe in this transcendent understanding of justice that is far more akin to the biblical understanding than what you have in this postmodern woke culture. And one of the things that we have to recognize is this is a moment of challenge for the church and for pastors in particular to take up that mantle and do the very thing that Dr. Falwell did so many years ago. And that's the legacy that he gave us.
And
I'd say if he were alive today, Dr. Falwell would be still fighting some of the same battles that they were fighting back in the 80s and 90s on along lines of pro-life issues, religious liberty issues. But he'd be amazed, I think, at how much farther downstream culture has gone. But he would also be responding to the brand new things that we've been seeing in the last few years, the wokeism, the critical race theory, the idea that, there's a truth for different people based on their skin color, they're based on their background. He'd be right there in the mix of it. Speaking out on those issues of the day, he wouldn't be pulling his punches or hiding from those things as if we can somehow hide our voice and escape what's coming in our culture. He'd be right at the forefront. So,
and I think Scott and Ryan Lee Helfenbein, I think another thing is in just the last 48 hours, we've seen now a third pastor arrested, persecuted in Canada for simply holding service. I think Dr. Falwell Sr. would have an eye on that. I think he would be sad by that, but I think there would also be a message of warning that just because it's across a border doesn't mean that it's not going to continue to try to encroach onto our doorstep. And if we don't pray for and if we don't fight for those from afar, at some point there will be nobody to fight for us.
You know, to that personal experience, one of those pastors in Canada at Trinity Baptist was a friend of mine in seminary, and Jacob Rayom, and he has absolutely got his feet firmly planted in the Word of God, but he is a man of courage, and there's so many excellent and wonderful examples of bravery because they love Jesus Christ, they love the gospel, and they understand that it is going to cost, and they have been strengthened to shoulder the cross that we have all been called to carry. And so, you know, we've been talking about the legacy of Dr. Falwell. You know, we have a young generation of pastors who understand that. I'm hoping that our friends up north inspire and encourage those within the states to understand this is something we all have to carry. This is our new burden for this new generation.
I am so emboldened by seeing the younger generation coming forward, giving their life to Christ, to have faith and to press forward, because they're in these times where in this digital world, you know, the hatred, it can proliferate in an instant with just a click. And now we have these young kids that have seen this. They're emboldened against this and they're ready to press back and fight a fight that perhaps my generation and an older generation could have never seen coming down the pike. And it all starts with a great Christ-centered education at Liberty University. Scott, tell us a little bit more about Liberty. If people are interested in some of the things that are coming up at Liberty, to maybe take a class and how they can learn to be a part of the Liberty family.
Yeah, sure. So liberty.edu is the website. You go there and you find out whether you're a candidate for the residential program here in Lynchburg. About 15,000 students gather each fall for a new school year. Or we have the online program, which has about 110,000 students spread out all over the world, and they dip into the online program and complete their degree, you know, from wherever they're at. A lot of those are more older, in their late 20s and 30s, and so they're actually holding down jobs, raising a family, and they go right into the online program and get the same education and the same Christian worldview. You know, one word from Jesus, Jesus told his disciples that no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. And one thing we remember about Dr. Falwell is that he literally died at work. So he was full pressed on. He had preached sermons that weekend, and then he was in his office having had a meeting with one of his executive leaders, thinking about what they were going to do the next semester, thinking about what they were going to do the next week, you know, praying together, reading the scripture together, and that's when the Lord took him home. And so our students can remember literally that he was working right up to the end. He did not take his hand off the plow. He did not look back all the way to the end, and that's very inspiring for the next generation.
Folks, make sure you check that out, and we'll have more on Liberty University from our live show blog. And Ryan, before we go, how can folks become a part of supporting the Standing for Freedom Center?
Absolutely. Whether you're a parent or a student, join us at standingforfreedom.com. You can go there. There's a place to sign up. And for your young people, to become an ambassador, we actually want to know them. We'd like to reach out to them and even send them a gift. So go to standingforfreedom.com and sign up there. And also know next week we've got a podcast that's going to release with James O'Keefe. He's got big news coming up on Monday.
Ah, the Project Veritas guy. Outstanding. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me on the Todd Starnes Show. And go Flames!
Go Flames!
Thanks, Tim.
All right, thank you so much. There's Ryan Lee Helfenbein and Scott Lamb with the Standing for Freedom Center and Liberty University, respectively. Coming up, proof that you can pretty much buy anything on Amazon, and one guy in Memphis used it to slow folks down in his neighborhood. We'll tell you all about that coming up, and it's Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. Tim Van Horn in for the Todd Starnes.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back. Tim Van Horn in for Todd Starnes. He's out being deplorable somewhere on assignment. He'll be back on Monday. Our digits, 844-747-8868. And we are looking at Facebook Live, some of the comments coming in. We cannot possibly be praying too much during these turbulent times. We cannot possibly be seeing everything that is happening in the heavenlies. That's Jory quoting 2 Corinthians 10:4. And keep the comments coming in. They have been awesome. You guys have been great with your calls today at 844-747-8868. And I have to, for a moment of transparency, I have to tell you, tomorrow is going to probably be a day full of tears for me, Grace. It's going to be a busy day in the Van Horn family. But tomorrow is my 8-year-old daughter's last soccer game of the season.
Aww.
And she just came up. My wife and I have played this most of our lives, and we've never pushed this on her. And she came up and said that she wanted to play. And
y'all inspired her.
So seeing her grow from not playing hardly and knowing much to now doing things out there and showing that she's learned, it's been incredible to watch her grow. And she's playing with a bunch of other kids her age that have never played before either. So seeing them begin to learn, but more
trying to figure it out.
More than anything else, just to see this coach who is a man of immense patience.
Oh yeah, you got to have a lot of patience.
I mean, he at the beginning of the season, he was essentially herding cats. Is what he was doing. They were giggling.
I've seen it before.
They were sitting on the ball like they were a hen trying to lay an egg, and pretty much everything except
they're all like bunched up together, not spread out at all.
Yeah, and it was like the buffalo herd. Yeah, essentially. But they did win a game, which was incredible.
Hey, they've done better than my team has.
Well, you know, hey, listen,
I'm playing go-ahead soccer.
You know, just stick with it. It'll eventually come. Every squirrel finds a nut. It's no, yes. You will get a win. But you know, I'm just really thankful to Coach Ryan, who has been just great with my daughter and been super patient. But tomorrow, you know, we'll have our, you know, picture and all that stuff taken with her.
You got to
do that so that when she's older, you know, she'll have that for
She's a soccer superstar.
Yeah, well, or she wants to be more of an actress or a YouTube star, which I think all the kids want to do.
Oh, yeah.
And she keeps asking.
An influencer.
Well, she keeps asking me, how do you monetize? And I'm like, I don't
know.
Oh,
my gosh. She knows the word monetize?
I don't know how to monetize.
Impressive.
I don't know how to monetize.
I don't know
YouTube.
How to monetize.
If I did that, you wouldn't have to worry about that. But no, I don't do. Yeah, I don't do the monetization, but I'm just tomorrow to be a day of gratitude. And for those of you that are parents or grandparents, you know that when you start to see your kids grow and you see that smile on their face, I mean, it's so addictive. I mean, there's nothing else better like it. And to me, it's just, you know, when you see that child smile, I mean, that's just God showing himself through kids. It's just, you know, I love my daughter. I love to see her smile, those dimples. I mean, it does me in. I have to be really careful. Otherwise, I'll whip out the credit card and whatever she wants, I get. So I got to be very, very disciplined about that. Well, apparently some Memphis guy whipped out the credit card, and now he, at least in my opinion, I think he is a hero in a time
where been waiting on this all day, Jim.
In a time where you have such a growing government and a bureaucracy, one man simply had enough. And this is right in our backyard of flagship station, KWAM. In fact, it's only about 2 miles from here. Headline, Memphis man installs DIY speed bump to stop dangerous drivers.
You know, the city, I feel like cities always take forever to get anything done. So this guy just took it into his own hands to get it done.
Big props to Steve Sturette. He decided after putting in a request with the city and waiting and waiting and waiting, he had had enough that there were too many cars that were zipping down the road, making noise. Yes. And for him, of course, you know, and like anybody else, those requests are handled in the order that they're received. And also, you know, we're coming toward the end of the budget year as well, mm-hmm. which means maybe they're scraping for an extra penny, an extra dime here or there. Well, this guy just said, forget it. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. So we did a little bit of digging. We meaning Grace Baker specifically, because she is kind of the more go-getter of the two. And also you're in charge of the news department as well. So this kind of fell under your umbrella.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, this went to my top of my to-do list today.
So you went and you did some pricing of speed bumps.
Yes, I went on Amazon, and apparently you could buy a speed bump for as little as $100, maybe $230 if you're getting real fancy.
No kidding.
Yep.
Okay. So, and,
it's actually fairly affordable.
And you price this based upon size. What he got was a 7 foot long, 10 inch wide, 2 inch thick. Basically one that
I
would
found some that were pretty close to that size.
It basically sent a message to slow down without ripping the undercarriage of the vehicle. It was a nice, as they say in business, a gentle reminder.
Now the city wants it gone because it's legal.
You know, it's amazing that they make you wait and wait and wait for an answer. But once they found the speed bump, oh, here comes code enforcement. Oh, no. You got to get that
they
out of here.
They should just remove it. The city, and then just put it back and say, okay, we installed it. Now it's not illegal.
Exactly.
And then save the money.
That's exactly what they ought to do. And maybe even reimburse him or maybe give him, you know, maybe give him some tickets to the barbecue festival next year. I don't know. But bottom line is, to me, this guy's a hero. He wanted to slow things down for his kids in the neighborhood. Sometimes you got to take matters into your own hands. It was not violent. It was actually pretty clever. To you, Steve Storrett, I raise a glass of iced tea. Thanks to everybody that listened today. Todd Starnes is back on Monday. I'm Tim Van Horn saying God bless America. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back on Monday with the Todd Starnes.